AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition, presented by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. Ukraine's president is celebrating his birthday today with a huge gift from President Biden. The U.S. is sending military tanks.
President Biden announced he's authorized the Pentagon to send U.S.-made M1 Abrams tanks to Ukraine.
To help Ukraine defend its sovereignty and its territorial integrity. That's what this is about, helping Ukraine defend and protect Ukrainian land.
The move could not only help Ukraine fight off the planned Russian invasion, but is expected to help them launch a counteroffensive of their own to try to drive Russia out of the country. Skyler Hammer, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Homeland Security reports the number of migrants crossing the southern border has dropped 97% in the last month. The department says it's due to new restrictions set by the Biden administration. The man accused of killing seven people in Half Moon Bay, California, was in court today. Here's CBS's Steve Futterman.
66-year-old Jun Li Zhao, shackled and wearing an orange jail jumpsuit, was formally told of the charges, which include seven counts of first-degree murder. He did not enter a plea. That's expected to take place at his next court hearing on February 16th. Zhao communicated with the court through a Mandarin interpreter. The court was informed that Zhao is still a Chinese citizen.
On the other side of the country, New York City is hosting 1,000 dinners to fight hate.
New York City's mayor calls it breaking bread. Residents will apply to host dinners to bring people of different backgrounds together.
To say sapase, to say buenas noches, to say shalom, to say ni hao.
The goal, says Eric Adams, to combat the rise in hate crimes.
Turns us all into students, and it revitalizes our energy and start to respect each other.
That's CBS's Matt Piper reporting. A lawyer representing Abby's Werner, the school teacher shot by her six-year-old student in Newport News, Virginia, is slamming administrators for ignoring warnings about the child. Attorney Diane Toscano.
This tragedy was entirely preventable if the school administrators responsible for school safety had done their part and taken action when they had knowledge of imminent danger. But instead, they failed to act and Abby was shot.
And now she plans to sue. Health experts say updated COVID boosters are still fighting new variants. CBS's Alexander Tin.
CDC officials are now out with new real-world data they say are reassuring. The figures suggest the risk of symptomatic infection was cut by at least half from the updated boosters compared to others who hadn't gotten the new shots.
Former President Trump's Facebook and Instagram accounts are being reinstated. He's been suspended for the past 2 years over his posts about January 6th. This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual Insurance.
The Shaw 101 FM, Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Mettner with your headlines. Former Badger wide receiver Marcus Randall L. found guilty of two counts of first-degree homicide and other charges on Tuesday. Randall L. convicted of murdering two women he thought were informing police of his drug dealing in 2020. Jurors deliberated just 2 hours before delivering a guilty verdict. Randall L. played for the Badgers from 2004 to 2007. Gas prices are up again, but don't wait to fill up the tank. Experts say prices could keep climbing. Wisconsin's average for regular gas increased almost 50 cents in the last month, now averaging $3.27 a gallon. There are a number of factors, including the Arctic blast over Christmas and sanctions on Russia. Between now and Memorial Day, analysts say prices could hit $4 a gallon again. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM.
It's a new year, and because we're excited about our new and still growing Civic Media network of radio stations, it's time to do something really big. How does $1 million advertising giveaway sound to you? Our celebration is your chance to work with Civic Media's amazing sales team, creating a radio advertising campaign promoting your business for free. Save the date. The $1 million advertising giveaway is only happening on Thursday, January 26th. Full details on our website, civicmedia.us/million.
Governor Tony Evers, Tim Michaels said you had gone, quote, full woke. Dr. Jill Underlie said that somebody who says that has no idea what we're doing in schools to make sure kids feel safe.
We want to make sure all kids feel supported. Tim Michaels, we don't teach CRT in our schools. You got to come to the present century here, Tim, and be cognizant of what actually goes in the schools. My guess is you've never been in a public school in Wisconsin.
Up North News Radio with Pat Krylo airs at its new time from 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays across Civic Media.
We have a full hour with Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley.
Yes, thank you for having me. So glad to be in studio.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Now, whether you're a Democrat or Republican, whether you are a union member or a business owner, picking up your garbage has no partisan lines. Making sure people can get to and from work shouldn't have partisan lines.
Listen to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry right here on the Shaw.
Bringing some sanity to the airwaves. The Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM. Native Roots Radio is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
Johnson or at hazelsnetogo.com.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, any cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I have become more.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade.
With the earth.
Oh, Robert, we're not hearing you. Or at least I'm not.
This portion of the show is brought to you by MinSure, Minnesota's health insurance marketplace where individuals and families can shop, compare, and choose health insurance. Go to MinSure.org. That's MNSURE.org.
Oh.
A place where individuals and families can shop, compare, and choose health insurance.
All right. I don't know why we've got a reverb on that. Wendy, are you hearing me okay?
I'm hearing you fine. We are having technical difficulties, and we cannot hear Robert, who is our host of Native Roots Radio.
Hey,
so,
that's okay. We'll.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes.
There it is.
Okay. Yeah. I'm in the twilight zone here in St. Paul, Minnesota. I'm here at the home office here, and Wendy's in New York City holding down the fort, and Ogma's up in the deep, deep north. And I just want to say, hey, Cudigy, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and today we have special guest Bob Rice, who owns the Powwow Grounds here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis, and we want to quiz him because it's kind of a place where everybody meets. People come from all over the country and stop at the Powwow Grounds, so we want to quiz him a little bit, and we have a special segments with Wendy on our sacred animals, and we're excited to talk a couple segments there on so her fans out there are listening and are happy that she's on today. So hey, Wendy, without any further ado, let's get with Ogma with the news that you don't hear anywhere else. Welcome, Ogma.
Hey, bonjour, Anim relatives. This is Ogma Ginuwakwe, and I am a member of the Red Lake Nation in northern Minnesota, and I've got some news and information for you here. One thing I want to talk about that I don't know that we've talked too much about here on Native Roots Radio is the Talon Mine and the Tamarack North Project here in northern Minnesota. The proposed Talon Metals sulfide nickel mine in Tamarack, Minnesota, threatens to destroy rural vacation land in Aiken County and threatens more than 460 inland lakes, wetlands, and the origin of the Mississippi and St. Croix River watersheds. Obviously, water is life, and we need health and water and food and leisure, as well as local and global resources in this water here. And there's really intense risks with the sulfide mining to the water-rich environment up there. There's going to be pumping requirements by Talon Metals that are probably, I'm just going to throw it out there, akin to what happened with Line 3. They're going to be pumping a ton of water out to make way for this mine. And there's a group that's been doing a lot of work on this, and that is the Tamarack Water Alliance. And they have a community Zoom meeting every couple of weeks. And the next one is coming up on February 1st. That's next Wednesday at 10 a.m. Central Time. And everybody is invited to their open community virtual Zoom meeting. And it's an opportunity to learn about the risks of the Talon Metals mine in Aiken County and the Tamarack North project. Tom Anderson is going to be presenting, and there's lots of ways that you can get involved there. Right now, the estimate for the pumping for the Talon Metal mine, based on the calculations that Talon Metal has spelled out in their request, it corresponds to about 2.03 million gallons per day, which is a lot of gallons of water, Robert. I'm baffled that Minnesota, after Line 3 and the massive drought that we have, would be considering this. But I just wanted to give people a heads up that this is something that they can get involved in, and another way to protect water here in Minnesota, in the land of 10,000 lakes and sky blue waters. And you can go to Tamarack, that's T-A-M-A-R-A-C-K, wateralliance.org, and you can find the registration link to receive the Zoom link on their website. And it's really an awesome way for you to get involved with the water. And Robert, I don't know if you've heard too much about that Tamarack mine. Have you heard much yet?
No, but I'm glad you brought it up. I've just been kind of circling around it, circling around it like you know, a wagon circle, you know what I mean? Oh, wow.
Hey, you know, you gotta kind of, these things are really intimidating, you know, when we talk about another water project coming in when we're all still healing from the damage that was done from Line 3, you know, so it's hard to kind of, you know, turn around and, you know, bring up another fight. But it's definitely something that people, if they're not aware of, should be aware of and be able to take care of. So get involved with that if you can. The other things I wanted to touch base on for news come out of the Navajo Nation. There is now a woman elected the Speaker of the Navajo Nation. 37-year-old Kristalyn Curley now has one of the most influential roles in Navajo politics, and she is the first one in that role in the 100-year history of the Navajo government, despite the nation being a matrilineal society. But there is excitement in that, and I want to congratulate the Navajo Nation and the 25th Navajo Nation Council for having her serve as the speaker to the council, and I'm excited to see what the Navajo Nation has in store with a woman in that position. Right, Robert?
Yeah, and applause all the way, because the women lead the way in many, many things, and in the Native way, it's good that that's happening.
Exactly, and you know, I think that more and more we're going to see this happening, both in tribal nations and both in the U.S. government as well. We're going to have more and more women of color in places, because I don't know about you, but as a woman of color, Robert, I am tired of the way things are. And there's definitely a lot of us who are feeling that way. And running for office and taking an elected position or working for an elected position within your tribe is a really great way to do that. A little bit of sad news, though, Robert, for our relatives in Hawaii. ICT just did a story here that, according to the census, the biggest growth of Native Hawaiian and other Pacific Islander populations was in Clark County, Nevada, which is Las Vegas, which means that Native Hawaiians cannot afford to stay in Hawaii. They interviewed a family, and the family said that they were basically sharing one room, and the monthly rent was $2,300, and then it increased. And they're basically priced out of the median price range in Hawaii, where the median price for a single family home is about $900,000. And that was during the pandemic. And on the most popular island, where Honolulu is, the median price is more than $1 million. So Native Hawaiians cannot afford to live in their own land. And many of them are coming to Las Vegas, Nevada, which is really interesting to me, that move would be someplace. You know, how that works out, I guess I'm not sure why Las Vegas is where they're coming from or where they're coming to. But I mean, I just, it breaks my heart that, you know, so many families are thousands of miles from home, and, you know, just feel that they can't, there's no way for them to afford to be on their homelands. And I fear for that here in Minnesota, and my prayers are out for Hawaii and for its residents that are unable to stay there.
Yeah, I agree. I saw that article, Ogama. Very, very sad, and not hard to believe, but very sad.
Right, exactly. And we have to make sure we can stand up for those rights of Indigenous people wherever they be. I don't know how that works in Hawaii, but maybe I can track down a group that's working on that.
Some affordable housing would be great. Hey, thanks, Ogama, for the news that you don't hear anywhere else. Up next, we got Robert Rice. It seems like we have a lot of Roberts on this show. We have Robert Lilligren, Robert Blake, and now Robert Rice. So it's the Robert Show here on Native Roots Radio. We'll be back after this short break.
Stay with us.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Getting vaccinated doesn't have to be boring. The Department of Indian Work St. Paul is having a COVID-19 community vaccine event on Friday, January 27th that will feature music, crafts, art vendors, and more. Not only will you get to enjoy some great art, but you'll also receive $50 of gift card incentives when you get your shot. So protect yourself from COVID while having some fun enjoying Minnesota's vibrant Indigenous art scene. Again, that's Friday, January 27th from 3 until 7 at the Indigenous Roots Cultural Center in St. Paul.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Take care of your community by joining Metro Transit's Adopt a Stop program. Show your community pride by adopting a transit stop. Join us in helping keep the stop and your neighborhood beautiful and report any maintenance needs to us. We'll put a sign at the stop recognizing your efforts. Plus, you'll get 10 free rides every month. Get details at metrotransit.org/adopt. Again, adopt a stop for Metro Transit.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Hey, we got Bob Rice here. I don't see him, but I think he's here. Bob, are you with us?
Oh, I see why I'm not on.
Okay. Oh, good. Top of your head. I like it. Hey, welcome to Native Roots Radio. And we're excited to have you on. Wendy and I were talking a little bit before the show, and it's fun to have you on. And I go to the powwow grounds quite a bit, and you're the owner of the powwow grounds. And we have a few questions for you. And one of the things I want to let you know too, Bob, is that We have people all over the country listening to us. We're on 11 shows and 11 stations in civic media in Wisconsin. And of course, we're live on Facebook and YouTube. And I'm, you know, your place is a place where people, when they come to Minneapolis from all over Turtle Island, they stop there. So thanks for coming on tonight.
Yeah, no problem.
Hey, go ahead, Bob.
No, go ahead.
Okay. Hey, I got a question. So how long is the Powwow Grounds been around?
Well, February 4th will be 12 years.
Wow. And I think one of the exciting things is the name. How did you come up with the name?
Well, the name actually, I think it was NACTI actually came up with the name, Native American Community Development Institute. So about 13 years ago, I was running a coffee shop on the north side called 42nd Avenue Station. And Andy Hessness and Justin Heeneman called me and asked me if I wanted to open a coffee shop on the south side, which I said, no, I'm too busy as it is. And long story short, they were very convincing for me to open a shop on the south side. After they told me what their vision for the coffee shop was, I agreed to do it. And 12 years later, here I am, and the other shop is gone, blown away by a tornado.
Oh, wow. Hey, you know, there's a lot of community stuff.
So we got hit by a tornado.
Yeah. Got hit by a tornado. There's a lot of community things that happen. You're right next to the art place in Natke's right there. A lot of things happening. I know our Ho-Chunk member Mike Gozzi's in the basement somewhere over there, and there's a lot happening there on Franklin Avenue. A lot of history too.
Yeah. So across the street from Powwow Grounds is where the office is or was, and that was back in the either late 60s, early 70s. Of course, we're in the same corridor where there were all the Native bars. Across the street was, oh gosh, what was the name of that? I can never remember the name of that bar, but infamous bar, Native bar. They also said that was Ames' other office.
Yeah.
I had to go back on a, what happened?
Yeah, my, you're there.
My uncle you're still was on. Actually living on the streets in that area. Okay. My uncle was living on the streets over there back in the day, and you know, you had the Kamad cheese, and so we'd get the Kamad cheese from him and barter with him basically, and so lots of my aunties and uncles lived around there, so I had a lot of memories from back then. I've always been a North Sider. My family moved there in the 50s. And so North Side, you know, South Side. But anyways, Pat Bellinger, my cousin, part of AIM, Ronald Briss, done a lot of philanthropy work from there. But, you know,
yeah.
Back when my family immediately kind of lost connection with the side of our family. And coming back to Franklin Avenue was like, oh, yeah, this is my family. These are my people. You know? So part of the thing with being Native is there's certain things we do, or at least what I think that is. And, you know, we try to be helpful to our community, whether it be by cooking or doing something. And I think we kind of, I think that vision kind of happened at Powwow Grounds. That these were things that my family had always done, and now we're doing it. Just trying to be helpful in the community and stuff like that.
Well, you got a catering business out of there too, and I've had some really delicious food at many events. Bob, there's a couple of things I want to get to before we end here. One of them is there's a lot of celebrities that show up there. Can you name a few? Because I know I was I had FOMO when I saw some of the reservation dogs that were there. And over the years, I'm sure you've seen a lot of famous people, including Ogama.
Yeah, there were there has been, you know, the reservation dog and the model Quana. I can't really remember
Quana
her name.
Quana Chasing Horse, I think.
Yeah.
Okay, and so, you know, it was kind of cool to see them there, you know, because I watched Reservation Dogs and loved it, and just that humor that, you know, that you find with that show, native humor. And of course, Quana, she's gorgeous. And it was nice to have her show up there. So, you know, it was kind of nice. I told them that I thought they would become famous because they came to Powwow Grounds.
Yeah. Exactly. Hey, I want to back up a couple of years ago when George Floyd was murdered, and how you and all my relations, Art Place and also the Powwow Grounds, became so involved for the neighborhood. And I know Ogama and a bunch of people came from all over the country to protect Franklin Avenue, and you were a huge part of that, Bob.
Well, like I said, you know, with what my family has taught me is that we're going to be helpers, you know, being helpful. And it was Mike Gozy and Frank Perro, you know, we were talking, you know, I mean, I had already the insurance company say, hey, how's my insurance, you know? I'm going to burn down. Do I have good insurance? And they said, yeah. So then we sat down and we were talking about what we could do as a group. And we thought, well, let's bring people together. We'll try to pick the neighborhood. We'll set up people at different Native organizations along Franklin Avenue and off Franklin Avenue. And so we had done that. That meant that I was at Powwow Grounds 24 hours a day for about 10 days. I was sleeping in the basement. I'd go home and shower and then go back, you know, cook food, whatever it needed. I know at one point we had about 300 people there, and the funds were drying up on my end, and so I sent a Facebook message out to, hey, we need food. Can you donate hot dog hamper? And so I did that, and I went to sleep in the basement, you know, sometime in the middle of the night. And I get upstairs, I walk into the gallery, and I got a ton of food in there. And I'm just like, what the heck happened here? You know?
Yeah.
And the food kept coming in. And so we had plenty of food to serve everybody, but now I have too much food. Then Joel Swan, myself, and we talked to NACTI, and we asked him if we could set up a free store, basically. And with all the donations we got in, knowing that a lot of supermarkets in the area had been damaged and were unable to be open and serve the community, we decided, and so we did that. And within a couple of days, we had so much food in the shop that I had no idea what you know. We just was asked people to bring in shelving units, and so we gave away food for the community for the next how long?
Well, Bob, thanks for stopping in. Thanks for stopping in, and I just want to say that was a huge thing. Wendy and I stopped by and were amazed by, you know, how much you were doing for the community, especially with these grocery stores and places that were closed, and that you were giving food and being a great community member that you are. Thank you so much for being on the show.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Muskego to Pewaukee, always streaming at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief. President Biden says the U.S. plans to send big military tanks to help Ukraine defend itself against Russia.
That's what this is about, helping Ukraine defend and protect Ukrainian land. It is not an offensive threat to Russia. There is no offensive threat to Russia.
The man accused of killing seven people at his former job in Half Moon Bay, California, was in court today for his first appearance. CBS's Steve Futterman has details.
66-year-old Chun-Li Zhao faces seven counts of first-degree murder and one count of attempted murder. Officials say this was a case of workplace violence.
The 66-year-old communicated through a translator. The court says he's still a Chinese citizen. Crews have been clearing and salting roads in Pennsylvania for hours as severe storms blow through. But more than 30 million people are in this storm's path. CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
The Shaw 101 FM, Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. Governor Evers wants $2 billion in new spending for public schools and recruiting new teachers in Wisconsin.
Doing what's best for our kids has always been what's best for our state, and today we can afford to do more.
Evers gave his fifth State of the State speech last night, calling for spending increases to fight mental illness and PFAS contamination. He also wants more investment in Wisconsin's job market. Republicans who control the legislature say most of Evers' proposals won't get passed. TikTok is now banned on all University of Wisconsin system devices. Security experts say the popular social media app is risky for privacy and safety reasons. In sports, the Bucks host Denver tonight. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Ty Christian from Lords of the Trident. Can you say Max Inc. Radio rocks, Jimmy K is awesome in Japanese?
Sure. Let's see. How do I say rocks? Let me see. Sugoi! Max Inc. Radio wa sugoi datta omoimasu. I just said you're great, you know.
Thank you. You're great too. Original local music from Wisconsin. It's Max Inc. Radio on Civic Media. Saturday night, 6 p.m. to midnight. We are local music.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
My mother was very familiar with her neighborhood, but one day she stopped at the stop sign and she wasn't even really sure where she was at.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
banana French toast, buttermilk fried chicken sandwich, and Swedish meatballs. Open Tuesdays through Saturdays from 8 to 8 with a Sunday brunch from 8 until 2. Located off 29th and Johnson. More at hazelsnetogo.com.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves. Please join Howling for Wolves on Wolf Day, Tuesday, February 7th, 2023, at the Minnesota State Capitol. You can sign up on Howling for Wolves event page. Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
And this portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
I think we'll be doing that a couple more times. Hey, I want to introduce my awesome and beautiful wife, Wendy. Wendy's been an animal advocate for many years. I stopped with one many. Did you notice that, Wendy?
Instead of saying many, many.
Yeah. And you've been an animal advocate, and you talk about our sacred animals, which are all our animals and relatives out there with hooves, tails, fins, little hoofs. Welcome. And we're going to do a special show here with you, Wendy. We're going to have you on for two segments.
Well, that's great because I have a lot to say. Thank you very much, Robert and Ogama. My name is Hanajihihani, and that means cares for them. I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajinga, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level. It's always my pleasure to do that. And yes, Howling for Wolves, you only have till, I believe, February 1st to sign up for Wolf Day, which will be taking place here in St. Paul's state capitol. And you could advocate for wolves. One thing I want people to know, you could also sign up to do a virtual visit, which is also great since a lot of people can't leave and they don't really want to go around a lot of people right now. But yeah, so if our Minnesota wolves get taken off the endangered species list, Minnesota will be required, the word is required, to have a wolf hunt, which is a really scary thing. So we want to stop that from happening, and we need people to talk with their representatives and tell them that that's not what they want to happen. So go ahead and sign up on the Howling for Wolves event page and do that. I will be there in person on Tuesday, February 7th, so I'm looking forward to that. You know, a while back, I was talking about eagles and how euthanized animals were illegally dumped in a landfill in Inver Grove Heights in Minnesota. And these eagles went and they ate these carcasses and got really, really sick. And the University of Minnesota Raptor Center took care of these animals that were really, really on death's door. So I want to just talk about that a little bit, and I have an update. But first, before I do that, I have two quotes from people who worked at the University of Minnesota Raptor Center. One of the quotes is, "This is a heartbreaking incident, is yet another example of how critical it is for humans to be mindful of what we are putting into the environment. We are all connected, and sometimes our actions can be have unintended and devastating consequences." That was from the University of St. Paul campus of the Raptor Center, and that was on their Facebook page. The other quote I want to read is, "It's extremely sad event is another reminder." Oh, it's the same thing. Oh, here. "It's extremely sad event is another reminder that we as humans can and must do better," the Raptor Center said in its post. "All too often, our doctors are treating birds that enter our clinic as a result of human-caused, completely preventable illnesses and injuries. Together, we can help protect the lives of not just raptors like bald eagles, but the environment that we all share together." And I think that's a really important reminder. And there's a lot that we talk about on this show, whether it's you know, oil, pipelines, our animals, everything. So I have an article here from NPR News. This is dated January 6th, so the beginning of the month, but it is an update on these eagles and what's happened to them. After weeks of treatment, the poisoned eagles released. They were back into the wild in Minnesota. This is an article written by Ben Hovland, again, dated January 6th. After weeks of medical treatment, six bald eagles that were found poisoned last month near the Twin Cities were released back into the wild. The University of Minnesota Raptor Center released the eagles at Carpenter Nature Center along the St. Croix River near Hastings. They were among 11 eagles found poisoned near a landfill in Invergrove Heights in early December. The Raptor Center said the first was found on December 4th, nine more on December 5th, and one more on December 6th. The Raptor Center reported the eagles were suffering from phenobarbital poisoning, the primary agent used in euthanasia solution. Eagles can get secondary poisoning if they scavenge on a body of an animal that was euthanized with this chemical. Officials confirmed that carcasses of euthanized animals had recently been brought to the landfill. These birds came to us extremely sick, so they are required a lot of intensive treatment from our staff, said University of Minnesota Director Dana Franzen Klein. One of the eagles, which also had avian influenza, died. Several of the 10 others were discovered to also be suffering from lead poisoning, complicating their recovery. In photos and videos released by the Raptor Center, the remaining 10 eagles are seen with their heads resting on rolled up towels. Staff had to physically remove the tainted meat from the eagles' stomachs. One was released on December 30th, followed by the additional eagles released on Friday after passing final medical and flight checks. According to Dr. Franzen Klein, the Raptor Center treats approximately 1,000 injured and orphaned raptors every year. The organization relies on public donations for its operations and raised nearly $20,000 to support the eagles' rehabilitation in an online fundraiser. It's extremely exciting to see all of our hard work come to fruition and see these birds go back into the wild where they belong, said Dr. Franzen Klein. So I'm really happy that these birds, they did really well. Most of them did survive, but they really went through a harrowing, really a hard, something that happened to them. And it was all because of these euthanized animals that were put illegal in this landfill. Now, I went online, I've checked, I tried to figure out and find out where the euthanized animals came from, and I'm sure that they know because it was under investigation for a while, but none of the articles that I read said, you know, where they came from or what animals they were that these eagles ate. The other sad news is that 10 of the eagles that were found who ate these euthanized animals also had lead poisoning. That's astonishing that 10 out of the 11 had lead poisoning. And Robert, you know, we've talked about lead poisoning on this show so many times. I feel like I sound like a broken record, but I'm going to bring it up again. Only a tiny amount of lead in these birds could really cause a lot of problems. Hunters that use lead bullets go out in the field and they'll shoot a deer or an animal. They may not kill the animal. The animal may run away and die elsewhere, and the carcass is fed on by other animals, raptors, all kinds of other animals, and the lead that is in that bullet will poison these animals. Also, hunters will use lead bullets, kill an animal, and leave gut piles. So they'll kind of slaughter and clean the animal there on the field and leave gut piles. And these gut piles have traces of lead in them. And again, in just a small amount, can really cause devastating damage. And if you have lead poisoning, it's a really horrible death. It's not, you know, like, okay, you're dead and you're gone and that's it. It's a really painful death for these animals. So hunters are asked to use alternative bullets. There's plenty out there that have been tested and said to be the same as lead bullets, and also not to leave the gut piles in an area where these animals can get at the lead piles, because it's really, really devastating. I know myself, for the Humane Society of the United States, I have lobbied for stricter laws on lead bullets, but the NRA has such strong lobbying power in Washington, and they have so much money and so much power and so much political power that the NRA is afraid of any changes or any gun laws or any, you can't use lead bullets, any changes at all would lead to more changes and more changes and more changes, and that's why they don't want to do that. So we really have to, again, talk with our legislators and representatives and ask them to pass good, safe legislation, gun laws first, and we need safer bullets, not only for us. Children get into the lead, the animals get into the lead gets into the water, the lead gets into the fish, the people eat the fish, it's so on and so forth. So I have 1 minute left.
Yeah. Hey.
Wendy. Yeah. Go ahead. I just wanted to mention something too that you've talked about, and I want to take time to remind people because it's winter right now. Poison is another really big problem for eagles and other birds of prey too. So if you can, if you're dealing with a vermin problem, if you have mice or other small creatures right now, choose non-toxic methods, because the eagles come and they eat those animals, and they eat the poison that those animals ate, and you know, the food chain exists. It's real. It's not just a picture, and you're a big part of it. And make sure you're choosing healthy options for your relatives, your animal relatives.
Thank you for bringing that up. Right on. Welcome. I appreciate it.
Up next, Wendy Pilot, my wife, again, talking more sacred animals here. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Stay with us.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
COVID-19 is still here. It's not too late to get your booster. Staying up to date with vaccines can help you protect yourself from getting seriously ill from COVID-19. Get your booster at the 360 Colburn Clinic, operated by St. Paul Ramsey County Public Health, for a chance to win one of five $500 Visa gift cards. Each week in January, a winner will be selected from eligible persons age 5 and up who got their COVID-19 booster. To learn more and schedule your appointment, visit ramseycounty.us/booster.
Get vaccinated while discovering the inspiring work of Native American STEM professionals. The Department of Indian Work St. Paul will host a COVID vaccine clinic on Saturday, January 28th at the Science Museum of Minnesota's Native American STEM Day. Get your shot while enjoying a live DJ, activities, STEM student-led panels, galleries, and exhibitors. Plus, get $50 of gift card incentives when you get vaccinated. So let's get vaccinated and celebrate Native Americans in STEM on Saturday. Saturday, January 28th from 11 to 4 at the Science Museum of Minnesota. Admission is free.
This is Leonard Peltier. I am in Coleman 1, U.S. Penitentiary, and I'm listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Hey, I don't know, before we get going on this, Wendy, I don't know, Michael, yeah. I just put this up. Did you know this Line 3 activist Alexander James Webb was acquitted on all charges, including criminal trespassing today in Duluth, Minnesota, citing treaty rights as a reason for his presence? So
that's amazing. That's good news for treaty rights.
Yeah, definitely.
We don't hear a lot of news, good news on that front, so that's really good news to hear.
Well, hey, I want to reintroduce my wife, Wendy. Wendy's been an advocate for many years, and we've been talking about our sacred animals here on Native Roots Radio. So what else do you got for us, Wen?
Yeah, thank you so much for having me twice. I really appreciate it. You know, a lot of times what I do is I read from a blog. It's called A Humane World, and it's written by Kitty Block. And Kitty Block is the president and CEO of the Humane Society of the United States, and she has this blog, and she updates her blog quite a bit. So I wanted to read an article that she wrote. So I'm just going to be reading from her, her words. And this, you'll know why, Robert and Ogama, this article really resonates with me. And we'll talk about that after the article is written. So the article is dated January 24th. So just yesterday. It's called Rescued Breeder Dog Lived a Full Loving Life After She Was Saved. Here we go. Fighting the big fights for animals means that we are constantly working at an enormous scale to change thousands and thousands of lives, from securing the passage of animal protection laws and filing lawsuits on behalf of animals to conducting investigations and rescuing animals from crisis situations. But today, I want to focus on one of those lives in remembrance, a poodle named Bibi, who passed away in the loving arms of her adopter earlier this month. We have told Bibi's story before. For years, the little pup was used as a breeding machine in the basement of a large-scale breeder operation in North Carolina. A local law enforcement agency requested our help, and when I say our help, I'm talking about the Humane Society of the United States, to save more than 100 dogs from this cruel operation. Bibi was one of them. Once she was removed from her tiny cage, Bibi went to a temporary emergency animal shelter where she was examined by a team of veterinarians from the Cabarrus Animal Hospital. She was estimated to be middle-aged, 5 to 9 years old, and she had likely spent her entire life in that dismal place. It has so happened that Bibi's future adopter was very nearby. The receptionist at the animal hospital, Brenda, noticed that people were interested in adopting the younger dog saved from the puppy mill, but not Bibi. Everyone else wanted puppies, Brenda remembered. I wanted her. That's how Bibi came into Brenda's life. It was time of transition for her as she was about to retire. Bibi needed a lot of care and attention to recover from her years of neglect, and Brenda had time to give. At first, Bibi was in bad shape. She emerged from her cage with filthy fur, paws imprinted by the wire floor, and rotten teeth that weakened her lower jaw. Of course, not all Bibi's pain was physical. Many things scarred her: grass, throw rugs, loud noises, sudden movements. Brenda worked with Bibi to overcome her fears, and she says she learned a lot about patience from her little rescued poodle. Soon, though, Bibi was running all over the backyard and even became comfortable lying next to Brenda's Maltese dog, Tico. At night, Bibi happily shared the bed with her rescuer, surrounded by her stuffed toys, which she moved near her belly as though she was nursing her puppies. 6 happy years went by. Unlike other breeder dogs in large-scale breeding operations who are discarded or killed when they are no longer useful, BB's aged in comfort and with love. She got cataracts and started to slow down a bit. Still, her death was unexpected. In early January, Brenda awoke early one morning and found BB was having trouble breathing. There was nothing she could do to save her little dog. It's been a few weeks since BB passed away, and Brenda and Tico are adjusting to life without her. Tico now shares the bed, and he seems to sense that his person is grieving the loss of BB. "He's like my little guardian angel," Brenda said. "He just keeps looking at me like, am I okay?" Our hearts go out to BB's rescuer and her family. At the same time, we're so glad that this little pup found in the basement of a North Carolina breeder was able to experience such love and comfort at all. "There'll never, ever, ever be another one like her," Brenda said. "Animals have such an amazing capacity to bond, to feel both love and pain. That's why we are taking on puppy mill industry, which threats dogs as little more which treats dogs as little more than products to be bought and sold, by passing laws against the sale of dogs from puppy mills in pet stores, and by investigating the wrongs done to dogs in these facilities. It's hard to think all of the other mother and dogs in puppy mills right now, each one of them an individual with a unique personality capable of becoming a loving member of a family, just like BB was. But it is precisely this difficult truth that keeps us fighting to end puppy mills for good. And they say you can help improve the lives of puppy mill dogs by urging the U.S. government to require enrichment for companion animals raised in breeding facilities. And for me, I'd like to end all the breeding facilities out there. But as long as people keep going to pet stores and buying their puppies online, these puppy mills will continue to exist. And you know, Robert and Ogama, Robert and I have a dog, Gracie, who came from one of these horrible places. And really, reading this kind of chokes me up a bit, thinking about Gracie and the hardship that she went through and her little body went through. Gracie was in the puppy mill for 7 years. Robert and I have her over a little over 5.5 years, and our goal is to have her longer than she was in the puppy mill. And we always hope that she has forgotten the hardship that she went through in that puppy mill. So, you know, we always encourage, and you know what, it's so frustrating to me because I post this on my Facebook page. We've talked about this 100 times on the show. And every day I see somebody on Facebook and somebody, you know, online, whatever, buying another puppy. And I just can't get excited about that little shiny new puppy, because I know where that puppy originated from. And I know that the mom dog and the dad dog are still stuck in this horrible puppy mill breeding place. And also, I want to bring up the fact that, you know, women out there, if we're feminists, these puppy mills are like a sex trap for dogs. Female dog is kept in a cage. She's forced to have sex. She's forced to be pregnant and forced to have these puppies. And if you are female and a feminist, that's just another reason not to let this industry go on. And, you know, just pass the word along to all your friends to please adopt, do not shop.
Wow. Yeah, definitely. And we've been talking about lead bullets for so long and adoption too. Great segments. I think we could talk about that every day, you know, until we're blue in the face, because it's out there and it's terrible. Thanks, Wendy, for stopping in for 2 segments. Thank Bob Rice and Powwow Grounds and Ogama with the... Thank you.
What is dedication?
I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov.
Dad, I picked up your pills, made your lunch, and your laundry is done.
When you care for a loved one, you take care of everything. But are you taking care of yourself? Find free care guides at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ed Council.
This is Pat Greitlow from Up North News Radio. On the air, online, or on demand, make it a point to catch the first word on Wisconsin news, sports, and more weekday mornings from 6 to 8 all across the stations of the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's 4 a.m. and you're sucking baby snot through a tube because she's congested. If you love her that much, love her enough to make sure she's buckled in the right car seat. Find out more at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.